The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
It's a Netball Show with Flyhawk. I'm Andy Lamb.
And I'm Sasha Shipway. And on today's episode, we're joined by England netball head coach Jess Thirlby as England announced the 24 athletes in the 2022-23 Roses programme.
Jess, delighted as always to welcome you back. And as this Roses programme's announced, tell us about the significance of the announcement.
Yeah, well, it's always a really exciting time of the year anyway, but I think with a major tournament just around the corner, I think it hopefully just, yeah, gets people excited about when we do finally name what will be the Commonwealth Games 12. Obviously, this has been a brilliant process because this is about both the here and now, but also beyond as we head towards a World Cup campaign next year, and also readying and hopefully getting more athletes' roses ready for the conclusion of these two major tournaments in order that we can, I guess, give ourselves the best possibility of having some sustained and repeated success internationally, which is certainly our intention both now, but also in the future. So for me, it's hugely significant. I know it's a cliche, but it's incredibly exciting, and really thoroughly enjoyed the process, kind of rewarding those performances that we're seeing across the domestic competitions, both here and overseas. So, yeah, really significant, and hopefully just starts to build some energy and momentum now towards post-Super League, when you will find out what you've all been asking me for the last year.
And, you know, out of any of those conversations that you had in terms of telling athletes that they have made it into the squad, is there any that stood out that you could share with us, any particularly emotional phone calls?
I think the process itself is pretty robust. And so we've actually got time together over the next couple of days. So those athletes that have been named in the P1 group are actually coming together in person. So we'll kind of have more of a personal and intimate approach around acknowledging people's selection. And because there's normally kind of a 2-week window where the athletes, reflect and review on their agreement offer. So really, you guys are finding out pretty much straight after that deadline window. So some of the conversations I'm going to have, and some of the more personal touches that we will make as a Roses programme to really mark their inclusion, will continue over the next few days. So I have had some conversations, but the thing I'm really proud of is, I guess, we've offered 40 agreements and all 40 have been returned. So I think to have 100% take up is something that I'm super proud of, and I think is a real testament to the desire of these players, both in the Roses and Futures programmes, to want to be a part of what we're doing. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to more of those conversations over the next few days, and actually eyeballing some people and being able to actually, yeah, say congratulations in person.
And the players will be selected based on their domestic and international performances. Maybe a bit on how they're actually picked. Is it a set of stats you look at in particular?
As I say, the process is really rigorous. So we've obviously got a group of selectors and a selection panel that are making assessments on every England eligible player across every match minute that's played. And that gives us obviously some really robust objective information, I guess, to interrogate and to take on board, as well as then combine that with the coaches' insights. And we also invite clubs to kind of share against the selection criteria how they feel that their players are working, because, you know, we completely respect the fact that in particular this time of year, those coaches are working really closely with them and have some brilliant and strong relationships. So to kind of triangulate all of that. And then what we did this year for the first time really is almost create a long list. So the selection panel went out to a number of athletes and invited them to accept whether or not they wanted to be considered for the programme. And then from that, we then shortlisted and obviously offered those 40 agreements in total, 24 roses and 16 futures. So we have a myriad of data that's available to us. But for me, it's the combination of both coaching insights and the subjective information, as well as those data measures that we can take on board. And the combination of that really starts to kind of answer itself in terms of the athletes. It doesn't mean it's easy, though, because as you can see, we've got athletes like a Jade Clark, the most capped player in the world. And then you've got athletes that are completely new that have been elevated straight into the Roses programme based on what we're seeing and what we anticipate their trajectory to be. And that's the exciting bit, is some of that is still yet to be uncovered. And that's the whole point, isn't it? Is we have to make some best guesses, informed best guesses, around where we choose to invest those places and offer those agreements. And that's the bit I think I'm always most excited about, is getting them into our roses environment, surrounding them with hopefully the support that can help them world leading and world beating in the future. And then when you put the players together, I mean, that for me is always my favorite time of the year, like when they all walk in the room and you have your first sessions. And seeing, I remember Jay Clark, you know, being down on a court between sessions with Akira Rothwell, like those moments are really special. And to rub shoulders with each other is most probably for me where they get the most value. So, yeah, it's important that I help structure and design a program that enables those things to take place, and really look forward to working with all of these athletes.
There's one issue with the squad, Jess. There's no Serena Guthrie. We're still not over it, but it must be odd for you looking at a squad, you know, naming these athletes and not having her name in there. Is it an adjustment? Is it weird? What's it like for you?
Yeah, I need to be careful now how I tread the line, because obviously we all love Serena, and we're all, I think, very mindful of the long service that she's given to the Roses and the impact that she has and will continue to have on this group because of that. But with the most respect, I've also just got my head down and ploughing on, and rightly so, with a hugely talented group and experienced group, actually, as we head towards Birmingham. And Serena herself would be the first to say that, you know, in no way would she want to be a distraction. And I think that the group are in such a good position as a result of not just having people like Serena's imprint on this group, but as I say, you've got the likes of Jeeva and Jade and Joe. You know, they've been around this program now for a decade plus some. And I think it would be really remiss of us to not just kind of continue on. I think if anything, you know, Serena's happy news has galvanized this team. And from my perspective, gives us a fantastic opportunity to show everybody what we talk about and the behaviours and values that we base our environment on, which is about there's no one player bigger than the team. And I think in previous campaigns, we most probably have been a little bit reliant on standout performers that have been world class in their time. But I just think that's doing a disservice to this generation of Roses players. And actually, that's how we're framing it, is it's a brilliant opportunity. We've got work to be done, and that hasn't changed just because of Serena's omission. So, you know, we will continue to celebrate Serena, but I think it's also important that we, in particular today, mark the achievement of these 40 athletes for earning a place in the programme, and I guess following on from where Serena's left off.
Looking at the balance as well, nice mix. 9 defenders, 8 shooters, 7 middies. Are you looking at combos at this stage?
I think combinations kind of play out in the selection process, because obviously where combinations are strong, it's helping the case of people to get selected onto the programme. And I think having a balance across the group and, you know, for me, the succession planning is really important. So knowing where we might have some players at risk of either retirement or just generally at a certain age and stage of their career, and knowing who those next ones are that are coming through. I think we've done a wealth of work in trying to prepare for that over the last 3 years, which in turn allows us to absorb some of those losses like Serena. So I think combinations are important. Well, mainly on individuals, but obviously you're going to look at previous performances in our international window and then out in Super League. And for some, you know, they're spoiled because they're playing in and amongst some of these Roses players. So that helps. Others aren't fortunate to be in that position, but then they're helping most probably shine a light on players around them as well. So I think it certainly plays a part, even more so, I think, when you're in a year of the cycle where you've got tournaments coming up, you know, like combinations are everything. So at this stage, when you're doing a program announcement, you just want to make sure you've got as many people inside the program that have a higher probability of journeying on to a team selection. But that's not to say that people that aren't on this list can't still continue to be considered if their performances are of note. And I think that's what I love about our Roses program, is that the door is never closed. And I think we've demonstrated and got good evidence of being very agile and flexible and very open, actually, to rewarding people's performance as and when it's appropriate and deserving.
Mm. And Chelsea Pittman's name isn't on the list, but is she still being considered? Is she part of the P3 pathway, or is her name in the mix, basically?
You know, absolutely. You know, there's no way that we should be ignoring the quality and experience of somebody like Chelsea Pittman. I think everybody's aware that last year was a challenging year for Chelsea with not securing that SSN contract or playing in any of the top three leagues in the world. And we have absolutely stayed in contact throughout that period. And I think that was testament to her being invited and coming over to join us in January so that we could work with her back in our environment and see off the back of a little bit of a hiatus from those domestic competitions where she was at. And Chelsea's attitude is brilliant. And that was really valuable. And obviously I'm as happy for her as everybody is that she's secured that training partner contract with FIVA and hasn't only taken to the court for one team, but two so far. So, you know, I agree with everybody in terms of supporting not just Chelsea, but players that aren't on this list, you know, that we're not excluding anybody. But I think it was most probably slightly premature, given that Chelsea is in quite a challenging position where a training partner contract, she can only really take to the court in the event of injury and illness. And so there's no way of knowing yet how much court time she will get. And we hope for her that she continues to get it and she's using it well. But we only have so many agreements to offer. And it was maybe just a little bit too soon to offer Chelsea a full agreement over and above others that have secured that. But we're absolutely still in contact. And she will continue to form part of the selection conversations with the selection panel. And as with anybody, Chelsea can come through that P3 route if and when, you know, her performance demands so. So, yeah, you know, I want for everybody to be playing at their best and I want for the most competitive programme and competition. So although I'm sometimes seen as it, I'm not the enemy here. I'm actually everybody's biggest fan. So, yeah, you know, that's what's great. The P3 route certainly is open.
Everybody's got their eyes on Birmingham 2022. It's not the squad announcement. How far are we away?
I don't think, well, I can't be too far away at this stage because it's pretty imminent. So, yeah, I think you know, week on week, month on month, you're kind of narrowing that group that are starting to kind of really put their hands up. But I think what's great is we've most probably got still a decision or two to make across each of those units. And the reason why I'm reluctant to be at the 12 at this stage, you know, I have a good idea of the group that are kind of putting their hand up is because we want the season to play out. We want to give players as long as possible to show their form, to show consistency. And our challenge is to understand as a selection and coaching team as to how we will embed those players back together and what those combinations will look like. So given that SSN and ANZ seasons finish a lot later than the VNSL as well, I just feel very strongly that form does need to be taken into account and we need to give the players the best possible chance to get selected. And anything earlier than that, I feel would be, you know, doing the athletes a disservice. So form isn't everything, but it forms part of the decision. And I think by holding off now until after at least the Super League finishes, then we give everybody the best chance. And yeah, so a few decisions to be made, I'm sure, in the coming weeks and in most probably a month or so's time.
I was going to ask you, actually, you probably have looked at the Diamonds squad that have been selected. So, you know, Stacey Marinkovic has said that she's limited her numbers, gone with a conservative approach, picked 18. What did you make of the athletes she has selected and also the approach, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not too dissimilar to our programme announcement in lots of ways. You know, if I look at that as being what would be the equivalent of her P1 and P2 group, we're not far off in terms of numbers and quality. I didn't really see any huge surprises in that group. I think it was pretty expected. And I think, you know, there are some lovely stories in there around Danielle Wallen not even having an SSN contract a few weeks ago and now has found herself in a Diamonds team, which is great for her and a lovely story. And I think the likes of Sunday Ariang and Gretel Buetta, for me, have kind of been the point of difference in that Diamonds team over the last year. And I think that's both exciting for them and for World Netball because I don't think they're a typical Aussie Diamonds player. And I think it's quite nice to see Stacey and the Diamonds kind of break the norm on that. It throws challenges up to us, but you know, we're ready for them, and I guess we got a taste for that in Quad Series. So yeah, no huge surprises. No one there that we either fear or that we're not already preparing ourselves to go up against. And you know, they're one team, aren't they, amongst the other big giants in there with Jamaica and New Zealand and South Africa and other emerging nations. So we'll continue to pay attention to them. And we're fortunate, aren't we? We've got girls hitting out against them every week, so we've got some good intel.
Finally, just from me, Thunder obviously proved that they can put youngsters like Millie Sanders on court and get in player of the match. So how good is it for you just to see this happen? And things are looking good for you, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Thunder, I could list, I mean, in particular in that Futures group, we've got 8 of our VNSL clubs represented, which I think is a huge testament to the work being done domestically. And a big thank you from me personally to all clubs with the efforts that are being made to help really harness this talent that we're seeing coming through. You know, Thunder have always been known for being able to bring on their youngsters. They start them nice and young. I think they've got really robust pathway systems. But what's lovely is I think other clubs are beginning to kind of join them and recognise that it's important to shine a light on the youngsters, but do it at a pace which means that they stick around for a long time and that we don't lose them later on. So I think Thunder are excellent. I think it's been brilliant for me to see games up close and personal. And, you know, somebody like Emily Sanders was getting more court time at the start of the year where Shadeen wasn't available for them. But what a great spotlight that she had and that she's taken. And, you know, I look across the names in that Futures group and it's incredibly exciting. I think we were really spoiled for choice. And I could have put more in there if I'm honest, but I'm getting a bit greedy. So brilliant that our Futures Roses program has doubled in numbers this year as well. So we're able to extend and wrap around a bit more support and resource in order to get those guys Roses ready, you know, both in the short term, but in particular post our World Cup campaign. So yeah, some names in there I'm sure that you're going to see for a long time in the future.
Really exciting list of names just announced. And thank you once again for your time.
No problem.
Thank you so much, Jess.
No worries. Thank you.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.